great future. We're talking real money.
Have money, have talk show, put the two together, maybe you'll have more money. That's the goal of our little talk show. I'm Don, that's Tom. We're talking real money. We do it every Saturday live on number one Como Radio in Seattle, Washington.
That's number one. I mean, that really is number one.
No, really, no number one. Around. Like, I
know.
I can't remember.
12 plus.
I can't remember the last time I saw an AM.
1973 AM, or
number
something.
Number one.
Long time ago.
Yeah, back when I worked for KOA in Denver. Yes.
Yeah.
It was number one, but it's not anymore.
Now, I don't know.
It's very cool, though. It's probably all because of us. It's probably all because of us. It's all talking real money's
sure
fault.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. We want to help you invest better, save better, spend better, deal with money better, stop doing dumb things all the time. You do. You know you do. We're here to help. Give us a call at 855-935-TALK. 855-935-8255. And if you're looking to buy a house and you think real estate prices are absolutely out of control, well, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are just, it's month after month. It's astounding. Okay, the reason I brought this up.
Yeah.
The median existing home price, this is coast to coast, in June rose to $363,000. Of course, no such home is like that is available in the greater Seattle area. But median existing home price, and that is up 23.4% from a year earlier. That's a record high, according to the National Association of Realtors.
Is that a record high for the price or a record increase for a year?
I think it's a record high for the price.
Because that sounds like a record increase for the year.
It's got to be among
them. I can't imagine. I don't remember in my life a 23% increase in home prices in a year. I don't ever remember, even during...
Maybe the late 90s?
I don't think so. Wow. I mean,
oh, by the way, speaking of that, I'm watching the Woodstock 99 thing, which you might enjoy. But I didn't know there was a Woodstock 1999. There's a new documentary out about it.
Apparently no one knew.
Well, and they're complaining about how bad the food is, that the water is $4 a bottle, and not everybody liked the music. I was like, yeah, where's the breakthrough here? At any rate, the housing market.
Can I ask a question before we continue? What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
I have no idea, because I said the late 90s, and then I moved right into the Woodstock thing. Trying to show you how erudite I am, how much of a,
Yeah. You're
anyway,
not. You got that from watching TV. I don't think that implies erudition.
All right.
Oh, I watched some TV.
No, I'm just recommending
on
the show
couch
to people of our generation that
bourbon.
I didn't have any bourbon. They were trying to recreate Woodstock, which had been 30 years earlier. Now, I was too young for the original Woodstock. Proud to say, but
when was Woodstock?
1969. You were old enough.
No, I was 13.
Okay, well, I was like 3 or something. 13? So, any rate.
No, you weren't. You were like 12 or 11.
Like 10. Oh. 11. Anyway, okay. The housing boom is easing slightly, they say. But don't get your hopes up, because the demand is still very, very high. Interest rates are low. People want to get into this. I mean, I look at mine. I can't help it.
You can't help it. It's like watching the stock market, isn't it?
It is literally like day after day. Look at what? Look at these prices.
Mm-hmm.
Not to brag, but my home was up over $100,000 last month. Now, I don't count on that money until it's in my bank account. I don't believe it until it's sold and they give me the check for that. But it's crazy.
I mean, I'm looking at mine. Mine's up 10% in 30 days.
It's insanity. But here's the thing, okay? Because the reason I want to discuss this is many of us arrive at retirement and don't have the cash they need to finance retirement. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they have paid off that mortgage. Now the money's all stuck in the house, right?
Which I think is just a mistake.
I agree. That's one.
But I have this argument with my wife all the time.
I don't see how she could win the argument, especially with you, but that's a whole other thing. Here's the deal.
She's good.
Who argues with a talk show? She is good. She can have her own talk show. Who argues with a talk show?
No, she did. She did, and it was really bad.
Her arguments or your arguments?
No, the talk show she had.
Oh, that's right. She did have the Don and Debbie show for
like
about 45 minutes
or
something.
1 week until someone threatened to kill himself if he ever heard us on the air again. A caller.
That's funny.
I will kill myself if I ever hear you.
You
anyway. Yeah.
Okay, but number one, yes. Paying off the mortgage in a low interest rate environment, I don't think is a great idea. I really don't. We've said that many times. Number two, if you don't have money, you could look at things like a cash out refinance. You can get a very low rate on that, 2.3, or a HELOC at 4. There you get some of that money out, you keep it, you set it aside for expenses in retirement. Something you need to consider as you move closer.
Really, think about it. If you can make 3% on your retirement funds, you're better off having it invested than in the house.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And unlike Tom, who for some reason will stay in his house, if you offer me my Zestimate today, I will sell you my house. Come take it.
What is it? What are you want to say it? What is it?
I guess I can say it.
How much?
I mean, bear in mind, I paid $350 for my house. Okay, $350.
How many decades ago?
That was 2.5 decades ago.
Okay, all right.
Now it's worth $992.
Okay, that's what they said.
That's
it's
the
only
assessment.
Worth that if somebody. So
that's why I said.
Somebody walks in with $1 million today, then you'll do it.
$992. No, I'll give them $70. I'll give them $7,700 discount. $992. Give me my estimate.
Okay.
Sold.
I'm tempted.
Oh, you don't want to buy my house?
When did you get rich? No, I didn't.
855-935-TALK is our phone number, and we've left Lena hanging long enough. Lena, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Thank you for hanging in there.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
What's up, Lena?
I listen to you guys off and on for quite a while.
Thanks.
I have a question. I have been renting for years right now, and I'm wasting my money. I would like to buy something, but I have
Don's house.
I have a
Don. You go ahead. I have
don't about buy his house. 30,000 savings, and I work in the school, and I get the Voya program, the DCP.
I'm sorry, but my eyes just bugged out of my head. I do not like Voya's programs, but go ahead.
Okay.
And, it's a way to save for retirement.
I don't know
you got that.
I'm 57. Mm-hmm. I want to move on. I don't want to be wasting my money like this. Right?
Well, let me tell you first, Lena, I don't believe that renting is wasting your money. See, now that's a very American way of thinking. Because in the rest of the world, renting is kind of normal. Right now, buying is kind of, in a lot of ways, really scary, particularly in the Puget Sound area, because prices you think they're up nationwide. They're up ridiculously there. I mean, for example, what's your monthly rent right now?
Well, surprisingly, got to get out, though, because it's a mess in these apartments. I pay $750.
Wow. You're not throwing money away. If you're putting a roof over your head for $750, you're accomplishing a lot.
Let's go back. Okay,
go back.
So the reason you wanted... I'm paying for it, too, with the neighbors.
Yeah, you're paying for it. Okay. Yeah, but let's go... So you want to move because you're tired of handing your check to somebody else instead of paying yourself, basically, right? At the end of the day is what you're saying. I'd rather build the equity myself rather than pay somebody. I get it. Okay. But here's the thing. And we did a piece on this. I think it was about almost a year ago, from a study that found the difference in terms of financial wherewithal at the end of either owning or renting is very, very small because you got to put all that money into it. You got to take care of it. And so it's not as simple as I made a down payment and I got a place and I'm better off. And frankly, at $30,000, although I guess you could get some government program.
You could get an FHA program with like a couple of percent down, but you're still going to be paying an awful, for a very, 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 very average house. Yeah, you could really afford to trade up on your rent even. for probably less. Plus, then your $30,000 is now tied up in the house. And as you said, you're 57.
Yeah.
I just don't think
I
buying
understand
a house,
the emotion. I do. Yeah. I understand the emotion. I don't want, I'm tired of giving the money to somebody else. That makes sense. But it doesn't really financially pencil out for you to, as Don said, pop that money in there. You're going to pay way more on a monthly basis.
Yeah, what I mean,
I agree. I mean, I was even looking at a manufactured home the other day. I mean,
oh,
really
don't look
nice.
At those.
They
those
fixed,
no.
They fixed it up and everything, and they want $83,000 for it, plus $603 for the land
pad
rental.
Yeah, I got to tell you, manufactured homes are like buying cars. You're not, you will not build a cent of equity. You will lose money. Manufactured homes go down in value. They deteriorate relatively rapidly. They do not appreciate. For a home to have appreciated in the past, it almost always needed to be tied down to a piece of land. That is a manufactured home, terrible investment, because you got $100,000 tied up in the manufactured home. 30 of which is all your cash. So on the 70,000 left, you're not going to get a very good interest rate. You're going to be paying more than you're paying now in rent on the mobile home, and you're paying for the lot rent. Worst situation. I'd find an apartment that's in a nicer area that costs you a little more money.
That was a very good recommendation, because it sounded like you didn't like your neighbors,
right,
or something.
That makes sense.
By the way, you can live in a neighborhood where you own the home and not like your neighbors, but that's a whole other story that we aren't going to take up today. But here's the thing. Yes, I agree with Don. Maybe you could shop around, because maybe you could afford more rent. From what I read, rents are actually coming down a little bit in the Puget Sound area, so maybe there's some better deals right now to find that location. I would not buy simply because you're tired of, as you said, handing the money over to somebody else.
I would imagine the cheapest decent house you could probably get in the area is $250,000 to $300,000 these days, right, Don?
I don't even know if you could get it. I mean, I don't know what you get.
That's going to be out on the periphery. Condos,
like Cle Elum or
yeah,
something.
And plus, I think condos are just a disaster waiting to happen. Personally,
let's not go there.
No, yeah. Really. But I mean, my family's owned a condo, and we ended up with special assessments of $100,000 out of the blue. You saw what happened in Florida.
We're in one right now. Yeah, it's not. Oh, you mean talking about
they're
the
not,
collapse?
They're just tend not. Again, they tend not to be the best investments. So, Lena, I would continue to rent, but find a better place to do it within your budget and keep your cash liquid, because in a decade or decade and a half?
Less.
Yeah, you're going to want to start retiring. The other thing you might want to do is look and see what options you have to working with a company like Voya, which is going to be selling you very expensive, probably annuity products.
Well, no, she's doing that through her teacher, through the state retirement plan.
Are there other choices other than, or is that just the Voya plan?
That I don't know. Oh, I don't know that. That's a good question.
I don't know.
But she's also in probably one of the TERS plans too. So she's getting a retirement benefit from that.
Well, that's good.
Well.
So when she retires,
she'll the other money.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And again, this myth that houses always make money is just that. It is a myth.
Well, I mean, we've seen this, right? Where you bought something and it went straight down. And if you needed to get your money back, you had to sell.
We saw it in 2008.
Yeah, and in the long haul, they've paid barely above inflation.
That's right.
Coast to coast, long term.
Not Seattle. Not
last
know.
Year, or it's up 30%. Everybody makes money in real estate until they don't.
Until they don't, yeah. 855-935-TALK is our telephone number here. 855-935-8255. Let's talk about your financial situation, your investment ideas, your whatever it is you're about to get into before you do it. Call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Want a free copy of my book, Financial Physics? Well, go download it right now at Vestory.com, Vestory.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Yep, you can call us with questions at 855-935-TALK, or you can send your questions in at talkingrealmoney.com, like this one, Tom.
Yes,
the subject is fixed income option. Hi, Tom and Don. I currently have a mix of intermediate short-term and TIPS index bond funds for the fixed income portion of my retirement account. I also have a general fund available in my 457 plan that pays a contractually guaranteed rate of 4% with no expense fees. Would this fund be a good option as either a supplement or a replacement for some of my fixed income elections? The stability and 4% rate seem like an attractive alternative. I would appreciate your thoughts.
Is that like a stable value kind of
thing? That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like an insurance product or some kind. I mean,
it sounds like a GIC.
Yeah, these are guaranteed insurance contracts. So they are guaranteed by the insurance company. They're very different than owning a government bond, which is guaranteed by the U.S. government, which I trust to pay you back more than I do, sorry, any insurance company. 4% seems a very high rate because I think Boeing's stable value fund right now is paying about 2.3 or something last time I looked at it. So that makes me a little bit suspicious when the 10-year U.S. government bond is like 1.3 or something. I mean, to pay 4 seems risky to me.
Well, and if it is with no fees, then the only way they make money for managing the fund is in the markup, which means if they're paying you 4, they have to find securities in which they can invest that pay more than 4.
And that means they're taking equity risk.
The only fixed income investment that I know of that pays more than 4 consistently is called a junk bond.
Now, on the fixed income side.
On the fixed income side.
Yeah.
But my guess is that this is with an insurance company that is stretching for yield, that they think they can sustain this with risky investing. And while they're contractually guaranteed, the contract is only as good as the people behind the contract, the firm behind the contract. They can default. They can default. Just because I sign a piece of paper saying, I promise, I guarantee I'll pay you back, doesn't mean it's guaranteed. And the fact that insurance companies can get away with saying their contracts are guaranteed is a problem, in my opinion. It allows them to get away with financial murder, and that's got to be the case here at 4%. Got to be.
It seems a very high rate and risk. Yeah, so here's the thing. I guess if I had to own it, I would own a very small part of it.
He doesn't have to own
bonds.
It.
Okay, and the TIPS, which we like, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, which are adjusted for inflation, unexpected inflation, which apparently we've had a bit of here lately. So I don't know that I'd be racing off to buy anything that gave me a guaranteed 4 for the reasons Don just brought up.
There's a rule that you should follow when it comes to investing. If someone is promising you a higher rate than you know you can get safely from a bank or the Treasury, there is more risk. Whether they admit there is or not, there must be more risk. Must be. There were GICs and default swaps that were written in 2006, 2007 by a company called AIG.
They were good size insurance company.
They were paying huge returns. And if the U.S. government had not stepped in and bailed AIG out, the odds are very good that there would be a whole lot of people sitting here today with guaranteed investment contracts who thought they were guaranteed and didn't get all their money back.
We know that you look at the rate and you say,
It's so simple.
The problem is,
you don't want to believe us. I get that you don't want to believe us. But the reality is, no matter how, it's magical thinking to think, I can get 4% with no risk.
That's exactly what we talked about. People have a tendency to believe that I can make it work. I know better. Sorry, truth is you don't.
And reality is reality. It's math. If the returns are high, the risk is high. Must be the case. 855-935-TALK. Give us a call. We've got lots of lines open.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Aren't Saturdays fun? We get together and talk about money and talk to all these people, and I like Saturdays. And, you know, I go to work, and I still like it. Kind of like it better than my day job sometimes. My weekday
Let's
job.
Let's not go there. What do you say, huh?
No, it's all good. It's all good.
You know, we do. This is, no, what? Honestly, this is way better than the other stuff I got to do this week.
Oh, well, you didn't have managing a great people. Week
oh,
this week. A
lot of fun, though, is that it?
I hate managing people. I am so bad at it.
Is there really anybody who wakes up in the morning and said, I can't wait to get to the office today to tell him what to
do? Oh, yeah. No, I think there are.
I guess there are people there.
No, there are. I am not one of them.
No, I'm not me either. So I do it, but nah.
Yeah.
This more fun talking to you when you come into the office. Way more fun helping people.
See, I'd rather just talk to you on the radio. I like hanging out in my little dark closet. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, you know. It's funny. I tell my wife, and she doesn't believe it. It's like, I'm very introverted, but I can get up on stage and talk to a lot of people. But one-on-one, it's just, I'm uncomfortable. You're good with it. My wife is good with it.
It's just, that has taken time, though, to be honest with you. I used to do the radio thing for many years, and then I got more comfortable sitting down.
I've always been just more comfortable. I get up on stage and act. Love doing that. Just give me that.
Life is but a stage, my friend.
And all the men and women, merely players. 855-935-TALK is the number you can call and play with us here on the radio.
Let's introduce a new actor to today's drama.
No. I don't think she wants Grace. To be an actor. I think she just wants to be a caller. Grace, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi.
Hi, Grace.
I have a long-term care. Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have a question about the new long-term care tax that will be instituted starting January. I currently have a long-term care policy, and I've been online to see if I can go ahead and opt out, but I have not been able to find a website. I see information for people who are getting a new policy that the opt-out will be available. I think it said November 1st. So is that for everyone, including me?
You know, I don't know the dates, Grace, but I do know this. If you have what my understanding is, if you have a policy or you're buying a policy between now and the end of the year, you can opt out. Your employer will be asking you whether or not you have the policy because they're the ones who are going to have to charge your payroll, or pardon me, add that 0.5% of tax onto payroll and pass the money to Washington. So therefore, you should be okay.
Yeah, according to their website, if you have a long-term care policy that you purchased before November 1st, 2021, you can get an exemption. You can apply for an exemption. And then your it says, I don't know who this is, the Employment Security Department must accept.
That's Washington State.
Must accept the exemptions.
Okay. How is that going to work? In other words, because it's the employer that has to charge it.
Right. The employer charges it, but the employees have to apply and get approved through the employer doing it with the state.
Yeah.
So
they come to you if they come and ask, well, you do have a policy?
No,
sure,
you have to be actually approved by the state.
Oh.
That's what it says here. But yes, it appears you can opt out.
Yeah. If you have the policy, then you shouldn't have to pay the tax. That's correct. The procedural method in which you get yourself out of it, that's what Don's alluding to. Does that help, Grace?
Yeah, a little bit. I guess I just need to wait to find out more information.
Well, there is the law is, and let me give you this number. You can go look it up online if you want to just actually read the law. It's RCW 5050B as in boy, .04 Zero 80. Just type that into Google. It'll come up and you can read the whole law. But
Nicest day of the nicest afternoon of the year. And you're going to be jumping online to read about the long-term care.
Do it after the sun sets at midnight.
We never in Alaska this time of year. Exactly. You know what? I don't know if reading it, I would just wait until,
but
November,
it sounds like
we get closer.
I'm reading this and okay. It sounds absolutely like you are. It says if you have a policy prior to November 1st, 2021, which you do, then you can opt out. Yes. I think that answers the question.
There you go.
All right. Thank you for the call, Grace. We
this
appreciate you
coming up
being
a lot.
There.
A lot.
Yeah,
a lot,
well, it's something new. Anytime there's something new, there are questions. And governments need to realize that there are going to be a lot of questions. And they really, before they pass these laws, the legislature really should put in place a system for answering all of the questions before they tell anyone about the law. But they don't do that. It's kind of like building highways before they allow developers to build houses, which we have a problem with, of course.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hey, you know, we really do love talking to you. We like answering your questions. We have a really good time doing it. We love helping you avoid problems. And we really enjoy helping you become a better investor. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. That's 855-935-8255. Give us a call. We still have a lot of time. And Karen is next. Karen, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Karen.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
I bought a condo in an eightplex in Whatcom County in 1999. I lived there for 15 years. I am 84 now, and I have not been living there. I've had it rented out under Windermere, who have been wonderful management people, for the last 5 years. I am wondering when I should sell it. I paid $84,000 for it. It's doubled in value, and I'm wondering when I should decide to sell it. And then I have no clue what to do with the money when I sell it, because I don't need the money. What do I do?
Wait, okay.
When?
How much rent are you getting for it? I'm just dying to know.
They asked, Windermere charged $1,025.
Wow.
It's only a two-bedroom, one-bath. I'm very pleased.
Wait. Okay. You know, and this is free, you own this free and clear, right?
Oh yes, I paid cash for it.
And you say now it's worth how much? $170,000.
I paid $84,000. It's worth double that now.
It sounds like it should probably be worth more than double that, but okay, we'll go with double that.
All right. So, but here's the thing. So on the you will pay a capital gains tax.
Mm-hmm.
On the difference, because it's not your primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my question to you, if anybody called me and said time to sell real estate, yes, sell
today.
It's insane. I mean, you're going to get over the asking price, et cetera. But in your circumstance at 84, I don't know that would make sense, because in your estate under current tax law, whoever's inherits that property will get the stepped up basis as to the value as of the time of your passing. Not that we're wishing you to leave us. So for that reason, it probably makes sense to hold on to it. And it's positive cash flow.
It's a very positive cash flow. Your cash flow is approximately 8%. I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to take your $170,000 and get 8% on it. So for two reasons, it makes sense to probably hang on to it. And we rarely say this, but one, because your estate will get the step up, and two, because you're getting a nice income. And we can add three, because we don't know where you can get a better income. Make sense?
Thank you. I'm so glad you said those things. That really encourages me. And so I can sit here and do nothing and just enjoy the profit.
You got it. Enjoy the
passive
paychecks.
Passive income.
That's you got great. Passive income. You've got no cost. You love your manager. You have the perfect setup. It's really perfect. I would let it go.
I've got 5 kids that would gladly enjoy a little tidbit when I should pass.
Yeah.
And they won't pay any taxes on it.
Well, they, between the time you die and the time they actually sell it, they may pay a little.
No, there should be no step up. I mean, there should be a step up.
Let's assume they can't sell it for some months after she dies.
The
price increase there. Still not very much.
And
by the way, I bet it's worth even more than the 170.
I do too. That would be my guess. It would be worth more than that. But let's say it's 170. If it's 170, you are just golden. Perfect. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 855-935-TALK. That's the phone number to call here.
This comes up, by the way, because oftentimes people also want to give their kids property while they're still alive or put their name on the house while they're still alive. And
big
it doesn't
mistake.
Make sense generally. Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
No, it's a big mistake. Unless it's a primary residence and they're a joint tenant with you on it.
That'd be
a different story. But no, that's the wonderful thing about Step Up. Now, bear in mind that if your income is under $80,000, including your capital gain, well, that's for married filing jointly, so that wouldn't be in her case. But capital gains
about
rates 70, can
I think,
be
if it's single.
Yeah, capital gains rates can be zero, but only on very
that's
small
true.
Capital gains.
Yeah, no, I think this makes total sense to leave it as it is. You make a very good point, by the way. Could you take that money, go out and get paid 8% a year? No.
Not with any degree of certainty.
Not getting a check every month from her manager. No way.
And at 84, so I bet that check is nice. I bet
Absolutely.
That's a nice addition to her living costs. I think she's great. I think she's great. 855-935-TALK. Now, remember, as we're near the end of the program, the live program, you can call us anytime with your questions. You can call 24 hours. Because once we get done with the show, that phone number switches over to our Talking Real Money voicemail system where you can
record. I thought you answered that 24/7.
Sure. You just go ahead and keep believing that. If it makes you think
I'm
you
had like a siren system in your house.
I want a raise. I want a raise.
Okay. No problem.
I'm answering the phone 24/7, Josh. I want a raise. Yeah, all right.
Sure, that's going to go
over.
That
ain't going to work. Now you distracted me from my message.
No, okay, you were saying, and I'll help you because I know you're old and forgetful.
I am. I'm feeble.
You were talking to people. You were saying, whenever it strikes your fancy, whenever something comes up, you don't have to wait until Saturday afternoon. You could call us. And by the way, most people write us because they'd rather do that than get on the phone.
I don't get it, but
a lot of written questions.
Yeah.
And we're happy to answer. Or a lot of people send in their 401k because we talked about 401-411 last week. So I talked to a couple people yesterday, which was a lot of fun, about their 401k plan. So we're trying to help in many ways.
In plethora. Many, many ways. In a plethora of ways? Really? You're going to go with plethora? I'm proud of you. I'm really impressed. Hold on. I was going to see if I could get
you. You going to go with a question?
I was trying, but then
make one up.
My screen switched over to something. Oh, my gosh. I'm not doing this question. Oh, my God. You remember the longest question ever we had last week?
Oh, that one we had was like 9 minutes of question.
No, this one's longer. This one's twice as long.
All right.
We definitely don't have time for that one. So let's try this one. Okay. We can do this one.
Okay.
Confused about bond funds. Hi, Tom and Don. Listen to your podcast regularly and continue to be thankful for the great advice you give. I took advantage of your blueprint you gave to listeners earlier this year at Retire Meet. I would highly recommend anyone looking into their portfolio, getting their portfolio evaluated. Even at full price, it's the best deal in town. So informative and gave us great advice on our portfolio holdings. However, I still continue to be confused about bond funds. Oh, me too. Could you give us a brief explanation on what type of bond funds are best for those of us in retirement? My bond position is total bond, U.S. aggregate bond, Schwab tips fund, and a few Vanguard balance funds. So mostly corporate bonds. My blueprint recommendation suggested all governments. So what should I be in?
Got a couple people waiting on the phone, so I'll make this quick. The reason that we want you to own government bonds is safety. Safety, safety, safety. You get your money back at the promised interest, or so you have U.S. government bonds.
Right.
Corporate bonds can't always make that promise.
However, intermediate corporate bonds in a mixed portfolio, they're not terrible. They're just riskier.
A little bit riskier. Mm-hmm.
All right, real quickly, Marie, welcome to Talking Real Money. We only have about a minute.
Hello, and a minute is
Hi, Marie.
All I'm going to need. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I just want to let you guys know that I've been sitting here since 10 o'clock this morning listening to your entire program. Well, doing other things too, but I just listened to your interview with this 84-year-old woman, and I want to let you guys know how much I love you. She was fabulous, and between her, she, and you, her and you, you just answered all my questions that I've been waiting for answers for a long, long time.
That's the point of having a radio show. We help others without even knowing it. Thanks for the nice call, Marie. We'll be right back.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
You know, we're constantly helping people with money. We do it all week long. We have a podcast that airs pretty much every day. So just go to talkingrealmoney.com and check it out or on your favorite podcast service. But if you want to get your questions answered and the show isn't on, well, you can still call 855-935-TALK or send them in at talkingrealmoney.com. But if you have one of those more difficult questions, you know, it involves your whole portfolio or something, and you'd like somebody to look at it or help you kind of get started in the right direction with a more complex series of questions, we'll set up an appointment with one of our advisors for free, no obligation, no sales pitch. Just go to Vestry.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, knowing can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.